You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Tomorrow on ESPN Plus, the UFC Fight Night card features Michelle Waterson and Angela Hill in the strawweight main event. The prelims start at 5 Eastern with the main card at 8 Eastern. To get ESPN Plus, to get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Pardon the little frog in the throat, but it is a full-scale football Friday. Bart Scott is here. A cast of dozens are scattered all over the country as we are looking back on last night's season opener ahead to the first weekend of football in 2020. And we are live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase, and here comes the menu. It is time to get up with Mr. Mahomes. Picking up right where he left off, we'll tell you why this Kansas City offense may be about to get much better still. Meanwhile, Houston, we have a problem. Did the Texans take an off-season mistake into a place they cannot overcome it? We'll talk about that and more. And easy does it. Are LeBron and the Lakers looking ready to cruise all the way to a championship in the bubble? All that and much more as we get up with you starting right now. And look at all of this football acumen. We are ready to roll with Ryan Clark and Mark Sanchez. Bart is here. Diana is there. We're ready to go. Let's take a look at what happened last night, kicking off the NFL season in Kansas City against the Texans. It began with the playing of the national anthem. All the Chiefs players, save for one, stood. The Texans players elected to stay in the locker room during the playing of the anthems. Then after that, both teams came to the middle of the field to lock arms in a show of unity. And as you will hear, there were some in the crowd who clearly did not like it. So that is how the season began. We'll talk about it. Meanwhile, to the game, and it starts with this. First quarter scoreless. Here's the first touchdown of the NFL season. David Johnson scampers right. The Texans take a 7-0 lead. But Bart, then Patrick Mahomes started to cook late in the first, and he was looking for Travis Kelce.
Well, Travis Kelce, his favorite target. New money to new money, and Travis Kelce is making sure that he's worth every single dollar.
No question, as he's looking at Kelce again down here in the red zone.
Exactly. He said, excuse me, Houston, I have a reservation for 6.
And then they would add the 7th, and it's his 77th career passing touchdown in 32 games. And then Clyde Edwards-Helaire working close to a first down. They would use him a lot. They'd work him down into the red zone, and then Mahomes from the 1.5-yard line, the quick pass out to Sammy Watkins, who had 7 catches for 82 yards. Chiefs up 14-7, and then Bart Scott, just look at this rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and the moves he has.
Already game one, put some respect to my name. Eat. We talk about that, and we call that giving him the stanky leg right there. And once again, this guy, this kid, has announced himself to the NFL. You talk about what he's able to do, the unblocked defender, being able to be strong and stout, being able to run through tackles and be able to avoid and be elusive. He showed everything that made him great with LSU.
25 touches, 138 yards for him. Meanwhile, a long night for Deshaun Watson. He feels the pressure. Here's his first turnover of the season. Watson had 253 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, 4 sacks on the night. It was a night that would belong to the Kansas City offense. 3rd and goal now. It's Mahomes. Oh, and he's got some mask issues. Here we got Mahomes. He's rolling. He's looking. That's Tyreek Hill. They just spread it out. They can beat you in so many different ways with so many different people. Mahomes, 211 yards and 3 touchdowns on the night. Chiefs pick up right where they left off. They win the opener by 2 touchdowns, and afterwards, everyone was talking about their rookie running back.
For how tall he is, man, he's got the strength of somebody my size, man. He runs the ball like no one I've ever seen at that size, and it's fun to play with, man. It's infectious when you see him out there playing his tail off and running his tail off. You want to go out there and block for him.
He's been doing it since the day he got here. I mean, he's been working hard. He's been learning from his mistakes. He's going to keep getting better. It's another weapon that I kind of have in this offense, and we're going to keep doing whatever we can to keep moving the ball and scoring touchdowns.
Well, once upon a time, and Bart Scott referenced them, there was a team known as the greatest show on turf. What reason, Ryan Clark, is there for us to believe this offense isn't going to be that good?
Listen, there isn't a reason to not believe that. When you look at this team and you look at, think about a night that Tyreek Hill didn't get down the field. Tyreek Hill didn't have one of those explosive plays or explosive games that we're used to seeing. But there's so many weapons on this team that they were still able to move the ball. And we didn't see the Patrick Mahomes that throws the ball all over the field. They were patient. They found ways to move the ball. They took what the Houston Texans were willing to give them, and they still won the game. They still scored 34 points. And when you have a running back like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you understand that he can go in between the tackles or outside. And even when he can't get it going, your fourth option in the pass game is Sammy Watkins, who was a top five pick. Patrick Mahomes understands that this game is about winning. He understands that his legacy will be about how many rings he has on his hands. And I say hands because it's a possibility that he can get enough to put on the other hand. And as this team continues to build, continues to be a great organization, we're going to talk about them going 16-0 this year, not because of the defense, but because of the weaponry on offense and the guy that is pulling the trigger. The Kansas City Chiefs are real, and it's not just real about 2020. It's not about the team from last year. They keep adding pieces to become better, and last night was an example of that, and I expect this team to continue to progress as this season gets along.
Yes, that piece is a rookie, and his name is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mark, can you describe as a quarterback what you think it means to that offense? He's Mighty Mouse. I like it.
It's Mighty Mouse,
bringing the props this morning. Can you describe, from a quarterback's perspective, what that guy you think means to this offense and to Mahomes?
Oh, he's essential. He picked up right where he left off in that championship game for LSU. And really, when you have a back like that, we haven't even seen him catch a ball yet. He didn't have one catch last night. He did it all on the ground, and that's okay. They saw zone defense. They knew that they were going to get a light box. Boom, just hand it to 2-5, let him do his thing. And when it was time to throw the ball, when they got their man-to-man coverage, listen, Patrick Mahomes is going to make the right decision because he's with one of the best coaches of all time who's underrated and is only starting to get the credit he deserves. He's had maybe three losing seasons in his over 20-year coaching career, a couple in Philadelphia and none in Kansas City. Andy Reid is the ticket for Patrick Mahomes. That's why he hitched his trailer to Andy Reid's truck for 10-plus years or 12 years, whatever his deal is. He had no problem seeing that this guy's going to help me develop. He's going to acquire players, draft and develop, and put me in good situations.
It's ironic you put it that way. I think Andy was having trouble seeing with the fogged up face mask, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But Bart, so let's get serious here for a minute. All right? So you want to double team Kelce, and you want to double team Tyreek Hill, and you got to stack the box against Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So if they don't allow you to put 14 men on the field defensively, what are you doing if you're playing against this offense?
Well, you have to play keep away, Greeny. You have to take the ball out of Mahomes' hand, and what you want to do is make sure that you're able to win the time of possession. They had the time of possession. They won at 25-34. You know, and what happens is you have to pick your poison. You talk about a light box trying to keep two safeties, trying to double, then it creates a light box. And what happens, Harmon, he wasn't even there yesterday. So imagine when they add him to the freight. What happens is this is what happens. You have a team of selfless players. They've all got paid. They paid all the players that were making that were the squeaky wheels in the offseason. So this allows everybody to play in harmony, saying, hey, listen, we come here, we perform, we show some humility, we'll all get paid, they'll take care of us. Sammy Watkins understands that he's going to be the odd man out next year because his cap number's too high. They understand they're in the window. How many championships can we win before the weight of the contracts that we shelled out in this offseason starts to take away some of the pieces? And that's where Mahomes is going to have to prove that he's able to carry and replace some great talent. Right now, they're in that window because even though that contract is a half a billy, he has an opportunity to not really feel the weight of that for a couple of years because he pushed his money to the back of that contract.
So, RC, really quickly here, and I know it's not a quick answer. Yeah, go ahead.
But what's crazy is, like, none of those dudes were squeaky wheels. Like, everybody who's been in Kansas City, they getting re-upped early. It was Chris Jones who was the only guy.
And Travis Kelce.
But Travis had two more years. Like, them dudes wasn't even saying nothing. I think that's what's great about what Kansas City is creating. Like, they understand what they can do. Like, they know that what this team has is special. And I played on a team like that. Obviously, Mark Sanchez can't speak about an organization like that. But I played
on a team
that
understood. You've been disrespectful.
Hey, listen. What you could – what you could do if you stayed together. And when you continue to watch this team and you watch the love that they had and the love fest that was the post-game press conferences about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they know that they continue adding pieces that make them a dynasty, that make them different, that set them apart from the rest of this league and from the rest of history forever. And that's what's great about watching them. There's such a bigger picture when you think about the Kansas City Chiefs other than just winning one game at a time. And I love to watch an organization say, we have a goal, this goal is set here, and we're going to make sure our players know that they're important for that. And that's huge to me.
Quick final thought. Go ahead, Bart.
The great thing about where the league is, we have a couple of organizations that are in this same window. You can say the same thing. I know Baker Mayfield hasn't proven it, but Lamar Jackson also has the opportunity with a loaded roster to be able to be on a collision course and be able to make that same statement. If he wins an MVP this year, he's going to have the same resume. If he wins a championship this year, he'll have the exact resume of Mahomes.
Yeah. All right. So that's how the season begins on the field. Meanwhile, as we showed you, in the highlight, the two teams held a moment of unity at midfield before the game last night, where some of the nearly 17,000 fans who were in attendance could be heard booing. Here is some of what the players had to say about that after the game.
I honestly didn't hear a lot of booing. I've seen a little bit of the videos after, and I'm just we wanted to show unity, and we wanted to show we're going to come together and keep fighting the good fight, and I hope our fans will support us like they do on the game every single day.
We talked all until really last night, and we, you know, kept it up front, and he told us what they were going to do. I told him what we wanted to do, and we got on the same page.
The moment of unity I personally thought was good. I mean, the booing was unfortunate during that moment. I don't fully understand that. There was no flag involved. There was nothing involved with that besides two teams coming together to show unity.
All right, so for those of you just joining us, we had a full conversation about this in our first hour this morning. But, Bart, for those who didn't get to hear it, just what was your reaction to the way the two teams and the players chose to handle it last night and whatever reaction that is that we did hear from the crowd?
I mean, it was unfortunate because how can you boo unity? I mean, we talk about athletes using their platform to bring awareness to cancer, bullying, and all those other things. As soon as they want to bring up an issue that affects them, we have an issue with it. Like, you're sitting up there booing your black quarterback. You know, and sometimes if you ignore things, it's going to be on your doorstep. What is this? What if this becomes a situation? What happened with Cephalosha, where he, you know, broke his leg because of a cop, you know, wrongly, you know, tried to arrest him. You know, so what happens is these guys are out here fighting for unity. We're not talking about, you know, we're talking about social justice, and we're talking about, you know, police brutality. I mean, how can you boo a moment of unity like that? I was disappointed in the acts.
Yeah, and but yet the teams, I thought, with the unity that they showed, I think was a good thing. And again, I don't think we want to judge too much of the general reaction right from that of a few thousand people. It's very difficult to say. You heard Mahomes say there he couldn't even really hear a lot of the booing.
Right.
We heard it very loudly on the television. We'll see. That is the way those teams handled it yesterday. We'll see what happens coming up on Sunday. Meanwhile, we will take a short time out, and we have much more football to come on this Friday for you. Patrick Mahomes continues to look spectacular. Ryan Clark may have gone too far last night when he compared Mahomes to an NBA legend. We will explain that continuing. And Aaron Rodgers looking to get back to the NFC title game. But will the Packers remain the kings of the North, or are the Vikings coming for their crown? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more on this Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We have a very busy weekend playing this weekend on ESPN into Monday. We got the U.S. Open Finals, the women's tomorrow, the men's on Sunday. We got Clemson Wake Forest primetime Saturday night on ABC. Meanwhile, the Rockets and the Lakers, LeBron and company, looking to put that series away Saturday night. And Monday night, our traditional Monday doubleheader on ESPN. Steelers and Giants, Titans and Broncos coming your way on Monday Night Football. Meanwhile, I know what you want. You want my picks for the weekend. Here they come. Dolphins, Patriots. Nothing could be more New England than getting Cam Newton for nothing and him being great. Of course he will. Pats, 23-13. Browns, Ravens. The names on the backs of the jerseys would suggest Cleveland has the better team. But as Shakespeare said, what's in a name? Baltimore, 33-24. Jets, Bills. When I write my autobiography as a Jet fan someday, it will be titled, We Never Win in Buffalo. Bills, 20-16. Seahawks, Falcons. Both quarterbacks are going to have huge seasons. I'll take the one playing at home. Atlanta wins the Battle of the Birds in an upset. Bears, Lions. When Matt Stafford was healthy last year, he was sneaky great. This team is better than you think. Detroit, at home, on a late field goal. Colts, Jags. Indy is the best team in the division. Jacksonville is not. I'll take Old Man Rivers, 63-2. Packers, Vikings. The Scorched Earth Tour starts here for Aaron. The world writes him off. I think he loves it. Give me Green Bay for the straight-up win. The Tampa Bay Bradys at the Saints. The quarterbacks combined are 84 years old, and that's how many points they're going to put up. I'm here for the fireworks. Bucks on the road, 43-41. Finally, Cowboys, Rams, new stadium in L.A. with no fans in it. Now they know how the Chargers feel. The formula for Dallas is simple. Run the rock with Zeke. They will. They win. 27-17. How about them Cowboys? So that's what I think. I like Bart Scott. I noticed you liked my pick on the Cowboys. You like the run the rock with Zeke. Linebackers always want to see the team run the football.
Absolutely. It's going to put the offense on schedule. You talk about Dak Prescott and what this new offense under Mike McCarthy is going to look like. I'm excited to see what it looks like because now he has a plethora of weapons on the outside. CeeDee Lamb, you got Gallup, you got Cooper. It's going to be exciting to see if they can finally get over the hump and live up to the expectations.
They shouldn't fall in love with that. How about that, RC? I also got the Falcons this weekend. Falcons are the team, and Bart did it this morning too. No one's talking about can have a sneaky good year.
No, I picked the Falcons to win this game this week as well. When you look at what they have offensively, the offensive line that they have assembled that's full of first-rounders and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the outside with a new back, this team is going to be explosive offensively. Raheem Morris takes over the defensive play calling after starting there last year. I think this team is going to be really good. They're just in a very tough division. They win this weekend.
No question about that. Okay, so those are what I think. Now let's take a look at what Ryan thinks as we take a look at his Twitter feed. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweets.
Get in the gym, bro.
Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip.
Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweets. I can't even do it with a straight face. All right, Ryan, let's have some fun. Yours is the most entertaining Twitter feed in the entire medium. Let's take a look at what you said during last night's game. These are all from last night's game. First one, DJ looks solid, but someone must have snuck the 2019 Patriots skilled position players into Texans uniforms. The Chiefs DB's been painted on their whiteouts like my suit pants gone beyond me once quarantine is over. Ryan Clark, explain that tweet.
Hey, man, you know, like, we were excited coming into this game because you wanted to see what the Texans looked like without DeAndre Hopkins. They had three wide receivers that run sub 4-3, and they were playing small ball. And I was wondering, okay, when are you going to do something different? And I was like, well, they got backups playing for Kansas City and rookies playing for Kansas City, and they're plastered on these wide receivers. And then I started to think about snacks over everything. And I started to think about the fact that I've only wore joggers this whole time we've done things. And so they were plastered to them dudes like these suit pants gonna look when I finally make it back to the seaport.
Okay, next tweet from Ryan Clark. Bruh, Andy's shield foggy as hell. He needs a shield wiper on that joint. He's gonna have to stick the play sheet under that thing soon. Ryan, I don't know that it needs a lot of explanation. Explain that tweet.
Bro, what was Andy Reid doing? There is no way Andy Reid really calls plays. The next time Eric Bieniemy is up for a head coaching job, they can't say Andy runs the offense because he couldn't see the play sheet. Andy Reid's shield was foggy as hell. He needs to put one of the wipers on that joint that does like this if he wants to see it, or just stop playing us and stick the play sheet under it where it can stick right here and all we can see is his eyes. Andy Reid ain't calling name play for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I just want all y'all to know, next time they run around and we're in the coaches search and they're saying, well, Eric Bieniemy doesn't have to call the plays because Andy Reid called. Lies you tell. Andy Reid can't see a play sheet to call no plays. All he can see is his breath. I hope my dog ain't eat nothing before the game that smell bad because it's bouncing back and he don't know what's going on. Good thing he got Patrick Mahomes and all those skill players. It don't really matter if he sees the play sheet or not.
That's probably right. All right, one more. Here we go. Ryan's tweet. Man, 25 seconds for 15 is like 5 seconds for the real 2-3. You know, B.O.B. on the sideline looking like Larry Legend was on The Last Dance. Ryan, explain that tweet.
Well, Greeny, you already know The Last Dance is my preferred TV watching. And I remember when Reggie Miller hits the three and everybody's jumping around and all the folks are all heavy, all happy in Indiana. And then comes Jalen Rose and he said, put the camera on Larry Bird. You know, Larry Bird had the small mouth with them little bitty lips. They was tight as hell. He was because he knew Michael Jordan had time to get the ball off. That's the same way you got to be if you're Bill O'Brien. You miss that field goal, there's 25 seconds on the clock, and Patrick Mahomes is coming onto the field. You know he's going to score. You know he's going to manufacture something. And Mark Sanchez said it earlier. That was the turn in the game. You miss the field goal, give Pat Mahomes 25 seconds, he gets the field goal, comes back out, he scores. Game over. Bill O'Brien, you've been there. You weren't going for it on fourth last year. You didn't go for it on fourth at the beginning of this game. You gave Patrick Mahomes 25 seconds. That's like giving the real 2-3, and I had to state the real 2-3 because I know somewhere Marcus Spears and Kendrick Perkins are like, oh, but LeBron wears 23 now. He's all important. No, there's only one 2-3. There's only one Patrick Mahomes, and you do not leave time on the clock for dudes that are special. And that's all we saw. They score. They win. You can't do it. Larry Legend, tight-lipped. Andy Reid, fogged up. My pants, too tight. This is Explain Your Tweets. Let's move on.
That's extremely well done. Ryan Clark giving it to you in every possible way. All right, as we continue here in just a moment, Houston, we have a problem. Did the Texans make an offseason mistake they cannot overcome? Our experts discuss next. Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and as the season ended or began last night, I should say, it was an uneven debut for Deshaun Watson in Kansas City. Playing his first game without DeAndre Hopkins, he was sacked 4 times. He threw an interception, and the Texans fell to the Chiefs 34-20 in a game that was not as close as the final score would make it sound. And Watson found it particularly difficult last night when put under pressure by the Chiefs defense. He completed just 1 of 7 throws while throwing an interception and being sacked 4 times. Faced pressure on roughly a third of his dropbacks last night. And so we have Mark Sanchez and Bart Scott with me here. And so, Mark, I'll come to you as a quarterback. You know, a quarterback, you follow, you develop a relationship with your favorite target. DeAndre Hopkins had been there since before Deshaun Watson did. There was a lot of criticism of the organization when they traded him away. It's only one game, but how much did you see Deshaun Watson missing DeAndre Hopkins last night?
Oh, absolutely. When you get rid of your bell cow like that, they still have speedsters on the edge, but when you lose your guy, that makes it so difficult as a quarterback. And bottom line, I said it last year, this offensive line in Houston, we said they were like a bad girlfriend who promises they're going to change and never does. He's under too much pressure. If I see another pressure graphic for Deshaun Watson, I'm going to vomit. This guy needs to stand upright. You paid him for a reason. Keep him upright and let him be the player he's supposed to be. He's a stud. Yeah. He just needs some help.
And a lot of the things that were already wrong with them looked wrong again last night. But, Bart, what they were generally able to do was, because of the spectacular nature of both Watson and Hopkins, they were able to overcome some of those limitations. It doesn't look like they have that gear to shift into right now.
Well, they just, you want reliability, and that's what Hopkins was. You threw it in his area, and he caught the ball. What we saw is opportunities for some of these new skill players, and some old, because Kenny Stills dropped a couple of balls as well, to make plays. They didn't make the play. They didn't win their one-on-one matchups, and that's what we thought they were brought in, to have a 4-by-1 team instead of depending heavily on one player, depending on or spreading everything out to Brandon Cooks, to Randall Cobb, to Will Fuller, who has struggled to stay healthy. And when you do that, you get behind the sticks, and then you force him into typical, predictable, passing downs, and then you allow the Kansas City Chiefs to really just play coverage and understand what's coming. And it didn't help that their right tackle was getting beat like a drum, and really getting instant pressure on him down the field.
And look, I know it's only one game. We obviously have to give them time to all figure out what they're going to do offensively, and maybe it will get better. But I don't think we can let this go by without saying, you don't trade away your best player and expect to get better, right? I mean, that's just not – right, Mark? That's not realistic.
I read somewhere in the offseason, when everybody's going through their offseason moves, that the Texans are just rearranging the deck furniture on the Titanic. I mean, what was going on? How do you let that guy leave the building? I'm talking about DeAndre Hopkins. And another Titanic reference, I mean, Andy Reid, his mask was foggier than the backseat of that old car between Jack and Rose when they were wrestling back there or whatever they were doing. I still don't get it.
Okay, fair enough. I'll explain to you a little later what they were doing. But that's not for this conversation. But let's talk about that. Not only that, the defense. Like, if you know that he doesn't have that guy over there, it just has to make your life easier on the defensive side as well. That game was too predictable for me. It was too obvious that it was going to go exactly the way it did. And there's nothing worse than when your team, the problems with your team are all the ones everyone can see coming.
Well, we can see it coming because we have to consider the opponent as well. I mean, they're going against the reigning Super Bowl champs, who's going to put pressure on you offensively. And they can lean on their defense to get, make sure that they can, really give that offense an opportunity to kind of figure things out. But I thought David Johnson looked great. I thought he looked like he was back. But, I want to really judge this offense maybe in a couple of weeks, understanding they're going against the Super Bowl champions in their building, and they're just a machine right now. They have opportunity to get it together, but they can't wait too long, because I think the Indianapolis Colts are the cream of the crop within that division. And if you just paid your quarterback and you get lapped and you get passed by maybe the Texans, who were able to bring in Clowney, or then also get passed because you've dominated this division the last couple of years, it seems like the division is caught up and you're going to have to fight for your spot.
That's right. The Texans have actually won that division 4 of the last 5 years, for all of the criticism that has been there. But the Titans and the Colts right now, at least in the projections, look like they should be much better. Meanwhile, let's talk about a huge matchup this weekend. Green Bay and Minnesota, divisional rivals, and a huge matchup this week. The Packers will be on the road. Both teams made the playoffs last year. Green Bay swept the season series. Our analytics, our football power index, give Minnesota just a 53% chance of winning the game. So that equates to a 1-point favorite. So Diana Russini, I know you have a lot of insight into this, and so much has been made of Aaron Rodgers' relationship with Matt LaFleur. What are you hearing as they begin year two?
Well, you heard the other day Aaron Rodgers say that he and Matt LaFleur are hashtag friendship goals, which anyone that has a best friend in their life, you don't tweet hashtag friendship goals. I don't think that's how you describe a friendship that's actually true. So to me, it's Aaron Rodgers' way of sort of deflecting the fact that it has been a bit rocky. It's been rocky because it's quite evident from people I've spoken to that Matt LaFleur is trying to make this offense look similar to what we're seeing in San Francisco with the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan, which is a run-first type offense. That's not exactly what Aaron Rodgers is used to and comfortable doing. That being said, here's the positive part about all this. In terms of buying into it, I'm told that Rodgers has been open-minded, right? He's aware that he doesn't have the weapons. The best weapons he has are his running back. So his attitude is, yes, he wants to prove, but the relationship is better. And the advantage that the Packers have are against the rookies with Minnesota, right? They're corners. That's where they're going to expose the Minnesota defense, because we know how good they are. But those young baby rookie corners, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a field day with them, despite the fact that I heard out of Minnesota those rookies actually had really good camps.
Well, we'll see. They're going up against Aaron Rodgers right away. Meanwhile, Kevin Stefanski hired away. He was the offensive coordinator in Minnesota. Now he's the head coach in Cleveland. Gary Kubiak will be calling the plays for the Vikings. So what should we expect to be the focal point of that offense?
Come on, Greeny, you know the answer to that. Dalvin Cook, right? We know exactly what Gary Kubiak likes to do. We talked about it in the earlier hour. He comes from that Mike Shanahan tree where they like to run. They like to run early, and they know that the run game opens up opportunity. Adam Thielen taking that major role now that Stephon Diggs is out. And that's another big storyline headed into this game. What is this offense going to look without a superstar like Stephon Diggs? And it seems that everyone on this offense was very comfortable from the day that Diggs left Minnesota to now in terms of what they look and what their identity is. So if the question is, what are you going to see stand out against the Green Bay Packers? You're going to see Dalvin Cook, who's got that chip on his shoulder, along with the fact that he's very healthy and he will be the nucleus of this offense for Minnesota.
No, we'll say it again. This is a huge game. I mean, they put these big divisional games right at the beginning of the season. We talked about Tampa and New Orleans, what that game could matter or how much it might matter. This one obviously will matter a lot. Who do I have ready to go here and talk about this? Ryan, Rob, and Bart are ready to go. Rob Montninkovich, I'll come to you. Who's a better football team? The Vikings last year made the playoffs as a wild card. They win a road playoff game, sort of got off the hook on that. The Packers obviously went 13-3, but it's all these questions. Which is the better football team heading into this season?
Who has the better quarterback? It's the Packers all day. So I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I think everyone is underestimating the Packers. Look, last year they were 13-3. That's pretty good, right? And I know everyone's saying, oh, they didn't go get a receiver. They have Aaron Rodgers. If you have a motivated Aaron Rodgers, which I feel like they drafted a first-round quarterback. Okay, everyone's going crazy about that. Aaron Rodgers is out there, and he is motivated this season to prove a lot of people wrong. And it's not Aaron Rodgers' fault that they've only won one Super Bowl. It's the Packers organization for not maximizing the time that they've had with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, and even before that, later play Favre. Next week.
Let me see. We obviously having a little bit of technical stuff somewhere. But, Bart, I could hear that you or could see that you were sort of shaking your head as he was talking. Why is that?
Because I think that, you know, he's off a little bit. I think the fact that, you know, that Aaron Rodgers, they won in spite of him last year. It was because that defense was, you know, was top five last year. You know, remember, that offense didn't look good last year. And imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Everybody's trying to be Kyle Shanahan. Well, who was the originator of that? Gary Kubiak. So Gary Kubiak saw, he's looking at that San Francisco, you know, film and looking like they can't stop the run. Yeah, they have these tremendous pass rushers on the outside, but they can't stop the run. Dalvin Cook downhill with the Gary Kubiak running game, you know, not the Kyle Shanahan because it's Gary Kubiak's as well. You know, and I think they're just going to eat the clock up and they're too physical. When somebody recognizes and identifies that you can't stop the run, it's like leaking oil. Eventually, you're going to be shut down. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, he can lean on a run game all he want, but he has nobody to throw to. That offense was horrible last year. Horrible. He couldn't put up the numbers, and Devontae Adams has struggled to be healthy. I think that Minnesota is the cream of this division. You add Yannick with that, Danielle Hunter, that's a pair. They already had a great defense. Now you give them two pass rushers that you can't slide the coverage to. Somebody's going to get one-on-one. Barbecue chicken all season for the Minnesota Vikings.
There's the first barbecue chicken reference of this 2020 NFL season from Bart. Ryan, break the tie there. We got one vote for Green Bay and one vote for Minnesota. Which way do you go?
I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings, and I was with the Minnesota Vikings coming into the offseason and even listening to Diana talk about the corners that are rookies. One of those corners has an excellent trainer who also actually has a great segment on Get Up about his Twitter feed. And Cam Dantzler has been outstanding in camp, and they know they're going to add him right away. Also, you look at Justin Jefferson, who was drafted to replace Stephon Diggs, who can do a lot of the things that we saw Stephon Diggs do both outside and inside. And Dalvin Cook and that run game are going to be downhill, and he understands, and Gary Kubiak understands that with a guy like Kirk Cousins, you have to start with the run, which opens up the play-action pass. I don't think that Green Bay is shot. I also don't think that you can necessarily say that a motivated Aaron Rodgers is better than a normal Aaron Rodgers. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers going on this scorched earth tour for a very long time. But the one thing we know about him is he doesn't take chances, he doesn't make mistakes, and he throws to the open receivers. Well, guess what? They don't have a lot of people that can get open. And Matt LaFleur came over to the Green Bay Packers after having the 27th ranked offense in the NFL. This guy is no offensive genius. He didn't come in with this great creativity. He was going to have Aaron Rodgers and say, you know what? Even though I got Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to find a way to run the ball more. So I'm going to draft his replacement in the first round, and then I'm going to draft a power running back in the second round. This team will not get better. We saw this team start to leak defensively down the stretch of the season last year, and they won't eke out some of those games they were able to eke out earlier that led them to 13-3. The Minnesota Vikings will challenge to play in the NFC Championship this year, and I think could very well represent the NFC. They're going to win the NFC North. They're going to be the best team in this division and have a chance to win in the playoffs, depending on how Kirk Cousins continues to grow in situational football situations.
Yeah, and he finally got off the playoff schneid with that win last year and a big one in overtime in New Orleans. All right, well done, guys. Obviously, that's one of the many huge games this weekend. More football as we go, but let's take a look back at the one game in the bubble last night, because it did feature a whole bunch of superstars. You got James Harden and the Rockets. You got LeBron and the Lakers. Game four, L.A. looking to take the commanding 3-1 lead. Pick it up late in the first half. Lakers already up 15, and James Harden is struggling. He was 1 of 7 from the floor in the first half, and then LeBron, why give it up when you could just do that? Oh, the reverse from LeBron James. Lakers 7 of 7 in transition in the first half last night. 17 points. Their lead was 16 at the break. Right to the fourth we go. Lakers, big lead. LeBron to the big man, Anthony Davis. They have no matchup for him. 29 points, 12 boards, 5 assists for Anthony Davis. Just over 3 minutes to go. Rockets trying to make a game of it. They're working the ball. The ball's going to find Russell Westbrook. He's going to find the bottom of the net. It's a three-pointer. It's a 10-point game. 33 seconds left. Lakers, the lead is 8. Playing defense. Can Houston get back in it? No, they can't. Alex Caruso with a poke-check steal. Now we're going the other way. Rajon Rondo. Oh! He throws it up, and LeBron throws it down. Quiet night for LeBron in the score sheet. 16 points, 15 boards, 9 assists. Lakers, a commanding lead over Harden in Houston. 3-1, and we will see Saturday night on ESPN if LeBron and the Lakers can finish it off. Tip-off for Game 5, 9 Eastern. Lakers, Rockets, you can also see all the action on the ESPN app. Well, today, of course, is the 11th of September, and as I said earlier this morning, I've always felt the best that we can do here at ESPN on shows that I host is do our best to entertain people and take their minds off of tragic events that are now 19 years in our past. But we would like to let all of you know that all of us here at Get Up, our thoughts are with you, all of you, the fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and husbands and wives who will live forever with holes in your lives that will never be filled. Our show is broadcast at Pier 17 in Lower Manhattan. We're just a few blocks away from the Freedom Tower. And as we speak, below the Freedom Tower right now, ceremonies are underway to remember the nearly 3,000 victims of that day. Moments of silence are being held to mark the moments when the planes crashed into the towers, the Pentagon, and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We will continue our show in just a moment, but wanted to say one more time, for all of you whose lives will never be the same, our thoughts are with you today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and let me run you through what was a remarkable day in sports yesterday. How many teams in action? How many leagues in action? Well, I'm glad you asked. Obviously, the NFL kicked off. The Chiefs beat the Texans 34-20 on the opening night of their season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 138 yards rushing. He sort of broke out. Meanwhile, baseball in action. Among the things we saw, the sport's biggest star, Mike Trout, hitting his major league leading 16th home run. It's a 449-foot blast to left as the Angels beat the Rangers by a score of 6-2. The NBA was very much in action last night in the bubble. Lakers taking down the Rockets by 10 in Game 4 of the West Semis. Oh, that was Rondo throwing it up and LeBron throwing it down. Anthony Davis and LeBron combined for 45 points, 27 rebounds. They're up 3-1. How about hockey? Glad you asked. Alexander Ragulov scored 31 seconds into overtime to lead the Stars to a 3-2 win over the Golden Knights. With a win, the Stars now lead 2-1 in that series. There was college football. The Hurricanes opened up their season with a 31-14 win over UAB. De'Ara King threw four and ran four touchdowns in his Miami debut. But wait, there's more. There was soccer last night. The Seattle Sounders trampling San Jose. 7-1 the final. It was the biggest win in franchise history for the Sounders. We're not done. WNBA action. The Las Vegas Aces beat the Minnesota Lynx 104-89. They got a combined 63 points from Asia Wilson, Angel McCutcher, and Kayla McBride. The Aces are now 16-4 on the season. There was tennis, U.S. Open action. Serena Williams, unfortunately, her bid for her 24th Grand Slam is over. She lost in three sets to Victoria Azarenka, who will face Naomi Osaka in the finals tomorrow. And finally, PGA Tour golf. Brandon Steele shot a 7-under-65 in his bid to win the Safeway Open for a third time, had no bogeys in the round, trails leader Russell Knox by two shots. All in all, there were events from nine different leagues played out last night. NBA, NHL playoffs, semifinals, U.S. Open, Texans, Chiefs, and so much more. For a sports fan, it was genuinely a remarkable day. Meanwhile, we go back to the NFL here, and let's go on the clock with Bart and RC, and we will look at some of the big games this weekend. Again, there are critical matchups on the NFL schedule this weekend. We will start with the matchup of the legendary quarterbacks, Bucks and Saints. 60 seconds on the clock. RC, what decides this game? What's the key?
To me, it's going to be about the man coverage of the New Orleans Saints and the pressure that they could create on Tom Brady, making him make difficult decisions under duress. Tom Brady doesn't like the pressure to be right in his face. He loves to step up in the pocket and be able to make those quick throws. But when you have the Lattimores, the Jenkinses, and also some of those safeties that they have now in Williams and Swearinger, you can do different things on the back end to make separation difficult. We've seen that play out last year in 2019 with the New England Patriots. How can the Saints use this to affect Tom Brady?
Bart, what do you think is the key to that game?
Well, we're going to see if all the extra practices that Tom Brady was illegally having when we're supposed to socially distance is going to kick in. You talk about all the extra reps. It's going to be about the chemistry of all those weapons and how Bruce Arians decides to attack this Saints defense. Does he come out with the three tight end set? Does he decide to spread them out? They have scheme versatility, and it's going to be exciting to see if Brady can stretch the field. One thing we know about old people with old joints, warm weather makes it feel good.
Okay, that's the first one. Next one is Cowboys-Rams. 60 seconds on the clock. Bart, I'll start with you. What decides this game?
It's going to be all about the run game on both sides of the ball because both quarterbacks are quarterbacks that thrive in the play action, being able to push the ball downfield. You know, Todd Gurley's no longer with the Rams, but I'm excited to see if Cam Akers can come in and take his place. And once again, Mike McCarthy, when he was a member of the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, didn't really run the ball as much. Well, you're in Dallas now. This is what you do, baby. Let's see if Ezekiel Elliott is going to step on somebody's chest, which opens up the passing game.
Ryan, what wins this game? What's the key to Cowboys-Rams?
You know what? I'm kind of upset that y'all let Bart go first, and you also showed him the script so he knew exactly what I was going to say because I agree with him.
It's going to be about thinking like, man, we're both deep in,
but to me, it's... Hey, but to me, it's about the offensive lines. Which offensive line can dominate? We saw as the offensive line of the Rams deteriorated in the last couple of years, so did that run game, and Jared Goff went with it. Also, you listen to what Bart said about Mike McCarthy. He saw what the Green Bay Packers could do from a win total when they ran the ball and didn't just rely on Aaron Rodgers. And so now that he has Ezekiel Elliott, these three wide receivers, you spread them out and you go downhill, and that's how Dak Prescott gets the ball down the field.
One more, and this is a big one in the AFC North. Don't look past Browns, Ravens. RC, 60 seconds on the clock. I'll start with you. What's the most important thing in that game?
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Can they run the football against the Baltimore Ravens? If you look back to Cleveland last year, they played well against the Ravens. They actually blew them out one time, and it was because they were downhill McGill with that run game. You give Kareem Hunt an extension. Nick Chubb is a Pro Bowl running back, and now you give Baker Mayfield the opportunity to take his time, to relax, to not have to force throws to Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. It's going to be about the run game that keeps the run game of the Baltimore Ravens on the sideline.
What do you think, Bart?
You just swagger jacked me, Ryan. You just swagger jacked my thoughts as well, because you've been looking at my notes. But I tell you what, that's exactly the reason why the Ravens went out and got Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe and made sure they got Patrick Queen in the middle, because you can lose in Baltimore. You can't get physically dominated. And that's what happened against the Tennessee Titans. And listen, they have no parts of it. Whoever establishes the run is going to be able to win the game. Let's go and see if Baker Mayfield can make some plays down the field. Now that he has no excuses, he has two of the top five offensive linemen in the game. And we got to go, damn it.
I can tell you right now, he did show me, RC. He had Chubb and Hunt written on his little piece of paper. I will take a break. Don't forget, First Take is coming up in just a couple of minutes here on ESPN. They'll be talking about the beginning of the NFL season last night, what happened on the field and before. They'll be talking about LeBron and the Lakers looking to put away the Rockets, all that and more. They're just less than 6 minutes away. First Take here on ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Get Up is brought to you by RE/MAX. Nobody in the world sells more real estate than RE/MAX. From New York City, I am Mike Greenberg. It has been 173 days since I've been able to say that.
It's going to be good TV. We about to run the ball down your throat, and it ain't nothing you can do about it.
Man, I'm so fired up.
Who cares how you feel?
RJ, a man who knows what it's like to use that middle finger in creative ways.
It's a quarterback-driven league.
Are you freaking kidding me, man?
No. It's about your quarterback.
Y'all are high.
That's why you need a quarterback on the show every single day, because he'll say things like that, and then Marcus will look the way he looks, and Jeff will look the way he looks.
Who cares?
Tell me Giannis is going to go to the Knicks.
Oh, God.
No way in hell.
Drew Brees almost retired. The uncertainty of what's going on with Alvin Kamara. Those are the two reasons I say they don't make the playoffs.
We may have lost RC. RC, are you still with us, Bureau?
Bro.
Ryan, are you okay?
Boy, you say some stuff on this show.
Every time Marcus calls Greg McElroy G, I've been G for 2 years
on
the show. I will admit that I'm feeling a touch of G envy here, and we're going to have to work this out.
We're going to work it out.
A lot of fun this week. It's great to be back here. Have a wonderful weekend. First Take starts now.